Hey guys, welcome back to the Darts in France rugby preview show. Only had one name suggestion coming from the Instagram, so Darts with France preview show it is. What do you reckon about that? Surely you're the one in France. You like that? You're probably dancing as well.
Yeah, I wondered if maybe a few listeners had seen me cutting some shapes. Maybe they've been looking at the security footage because, yeah, she has been a bit of dance in France going on. But look, great suggestion. Obviously, she rhymes, so straight off the bat, I'm a big fan of that. So dance in France it is.
Love it. And, of course, backed by popular demand, everyone was raving about the insight from the Northern Hemisphere side of view. It is the great Jake the Snake Atkins. Welcome, mate.
Hey, thanks for having me back on, boys. I'm not sure if I'm back on because I've passed the probation period, as it were, and you've asked me for a second date, or if it's because you boys want to get stuck into some of my dodgy predictions from the first round, because, geez, I didn't go that well, eh?
Yeah, no, honestly, I was expecting it to be one and done, but, mate, the feedback that just came rolling in for you was too good to ignore for a second time round, so I think it's going to be a real close week this week. There's obviously a few Northern Hemisphere teams going up against the Southern Hemisphere teams, so it's always good to get both sides of the fence. But we'll crack straight into it, guys. We'll review last week's games quickly, and then we'll get into the preview show. But the first game last week was obviously France versus Uruguay. Snake, France, I thought their second string team was obviously pretty disappointing. But Uruguay, again this morning, we saw it this morning, but they're a gritty little side, that side.
Yeah, tough one for France this, wasn't it? I think, you know, it can be difficult going into a game like this off the back of the result against New Zealand the week before. You know, whether those Sun Boys are emotionally or actually literally hungover from a massive result the week before, it's always difficult to front it up. And you add on top of that the big hype up I gave them on the What a Lad show last week.
Pressure.
I don't think they dealt with the pressure well, but Uruguay were really impressive, eh, boys? Like, don't get me wrong, like, they got a bit lucky at times. I don't know if you boys managed to catch the whole game, but, like, their first try, they get a cross kick and it's not on. They get a good bounce of the ball and a score, and that rattles the French team a bit. And, you know, like I said, they were lucky, but you create your own luck at times, don't you? And they brought heaps of energy, heaps of physicality against a really lethargic French team, and they looked really good for it.
Mm. And your 10 that you talked up massively going into it, keen to get your feedback on that, probably saved his worst performance ever.
Hey, Jim, we've all played on the back foot, mate. We've all played when our packs hung over, and it's not pretty. Did he go all right in fantasy, though? Because he still got down for a score and assist or something, didn't he?
Oh, I haven't seen it. Niggly thing about fantasy is you can't see the live score, so you have to check it post round lock-in, which is too much admin for me right now. But we'll get on to the next game anyway. New Zealand versus Namibia. Surely All Blacks absolutely class in the wet. They just see the space so well, and they're willing to execute whenever they see that space, and there is always a lot of space against these minnow teams. But a couple of standouts for you, or what'd you take from the game?
Yeah, it's one of those games going in when everyone expects you to win by plenty. It can go either way. Like, you either do just that, or it can be so frustrating. You're not scoring points, and then before you know it, the 80 minutes is gone, and then everyone piles onto you saying that it wasn't the score that it needed to be. So well done to the All Blacks for doing the job I think everyone expected them to. In terms of your standouts, Roy Gard and D-Mac, like, straight away, I think we said last week this could be a glimpse into our 2024 combo post this World Cup cycle. And if that's the case, then I'm really excited for next year, because I think Roygaard surely played his way into our top 23. I think he needs to be off the bench just because of that running game that he brings against a tiring ruck defence. And then D-Mac, you said, like, guys playing what's in front of them, playing space. He's probably the king of that when it's his day. He's one of those guys when everything's going his way, he's one of the best players in the world, and he had the ball on a string. So those two were really good. Leicester was really strong. It was just good to see the boys kind of back to that All Black style of rugby that we know and love, just scoring plenty of points, throwing the ball around, executing at a high level, and getting the job done.
Where do you see D-Mac in the 23? Can you squeeze him in there?
Well, that's the hardest thing, right? If they're going to go with Bodie at the back, then probably not, because you already have 2 10 covers. That's the big talking point for me in the weeks to come, is does Bodie keep the 15 jersey? I know a lot of people back home are calling for Will Jordan to get a crack. Maybe that opens up some opportunities for D-Mac, but at the moment, it's hard when you've got two tens in the starting lineup. It kind of negates that need to have a third one on the bench. Mm,
and I guess that's the same with Leicester too.
Yeah, I thought Leicester was really strong though, and he can cover midfield and wing, so he probably has a better shot at getting in there. He just gives us that blockbusting winger. We've got Mark and Will, who are speed, they're electric on their feet, but Leicester kind of gives us that punch that sometimes we lack. So I wouldn't mind seeing him on the bench just because he can cover midfield and wing. So I'd like to see Leicester in the 23.
Yeah, I think he'll make the 23 after that performance. It's whether they can get him into that starting 15. But like you say, with the setup they've got at the moment with Bodie at 15, it won't be happening. But if Will obviously moves to fullback, that opens up a spot there. So interesting selection, headache for the All Blacks. They've obviously got a week to think about it before the big Italy clash the following week. But the next game was Samoa versus Chile. Samoa, they're underway, but I can't say they could take too much from that one. What did you make of that one, Surly?
Yeah, it's probably just a good first hit out. Like you said, they get their campaign underway. She was a hot arvo there, so it's a chance to adapt to conditions and just get that first game under your belt. I think they'll be better for it. Chile, though, they were pretty brave in that. Like, they gave it their all in that one. They were definitely up for it, and they really took it to the Samoan side. So I think, again, it's another game where Chile and some of these minnow nations can really leave with their heads held high, because they pushed Samoa, especially in that first half, and they really had them under pressure. I think it was just that 20-minute period after Oranges where the Samoans blew them off the park, and that took the game away from them.
Yeah, it's quite a common theme, eh? The minnow teams going really well in that sort of first 40 and then just blowing out when, I guess, the fatigue and the bench come into it as well, because they just don't have the depth of the other sides. But yeah, it's good to see them doing well and competing, even if it is for that first 40. The next game was Wales versus Portugal. Snake, one lesson I learnt from this is do not stack your fantasy team with Welsh players, because no matter who they're playing, they can't see space and play space. They are playing absolute set piece to set piece. What do you make of this game?
Yeah, this was a really worrying game for Wales for me, lads. Look, they got the 4-try bonus point, and against Portugal, I think that has to be accepted as a minimum standard for them. But, like, really worrying for me, lads, none of the scores that they created in the game were sort of like well-worked passages of attacking play. They were all sort of like individual moments of brilliance. Like, the first try, Reece Zammit gets a bounce pass, long loopy bounce pass, and makes something happen out of nowhere, beats his man, puts a brilliant kick in and gets that back. You know, a brilliant piece of skill and fantastic from him, but you can't guarantee that he's going to do that, you know, this week when they play against Australia, or that he's going to have that kind of space. So it's worrying that they're having to rely on those individual moments of brilliance in sort of like chaotic, broken field, and they're not actually working any tries against a Portuguese team that was really poorly organised in defence.
Yeah, and the fact on that is that he only gets the ball a couple of times in the game. I obviously had him in my fantasy team. I was waiting for him to get some touches with the ball, but I think he had two touches. One was a try, one was a line break, but for him to create things, he needs to get the ball in his hands more, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. And like you mentioned, like, set piece is so important for Wales, and that was my biggest concern for them this game, was the set piece didn't even fire well. So on top of what you've just said, like, guys like Reece Zammit is not even getting dominant ball on the front foot. Like, just quickly flicked at the stats before, like, they were under 70% success at line out and under 75% at scrum.
Oh, stats, man.
Hey, stat dog, woof woof. But against Portugal, and you know, we said last week on the show how important the set piece is going to be for Wales to be competitive at all in this tournament. Worrying times for them, I think. On Portugal though, like, they were pretty impressive for a first watch of them. I think they're one of those teams where, like, pretty much all their exposure internationally to rugby has been surely through sevens. Like, that must be the main pathway that most of their guys get their exposure at, and I think you can really see that in the way they played. Like, some of the minnow teams, like, they are creating really nice space in attack. It's just a shame, like you said, they don't have the depth and they don't have the set piece game to go for a full 80 minutes.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, eh? It's good to see Portugal on the big stage. First look at them, and yeah, I like watching them. Next game was obviously Ireland versus Tonga. Ireland for me have been the most impressive team in the comp so far. Really looking forward to their matchup this weekend. But what do you make of this one versus Tonga, Snake?
Yeah, I got the exact same down, Jim. I said it was the performance of the week by them. I mean, this is just the kind of rugby that I personally love to watch. It's just like highly organized, quick speed of ball, unbelievable skill accuracy. And like, it's hard to articulate why, but it, like the cohesion and the timing through the whole team that they have in their shape is unbelievable. And on top of that, like you add that they're also good at set piece. They're not like just an attack merchant team. Like yeah. They also have a good platform to play from. They are probably the most complete team in every aspect of the game. And like when they get hot like this against a team like Tonga, who's trying to be aggressive and physical, like they are so, so good to watch. Like this is a strong Tonga team. Like you look at the lineup and it's filled with fantastic individual players, but like at time Ireland just looked like they were running training ground shape against them. It's just line breaks, good quality defenders getting pulled out of the line and making bad decisions. And then Ireland, they're like the key pillar of their game is like once they make one line break, the amount of jerseys you see flooding through, Yeah. They're just all on the same wave. Like there's one clip where Ringrose makes a line break and there's five guys like within 5 meters of him, within two or three steps of him going through the line. It's when they get like this, they are so, so good to watch.
I'm so surprised that they're not favourites this weekend, but obviously the side they're coming up against is going pretty well, and they went well in this game against Romania, South Africa. What do you make of this one, Surly?
Yeah, it doesn't get much more convincing, does it? What, 76-0? The fact to hold a team to nil is pretty hard to do in international footy these days. 12 tries in 80 minutes, and it was probably their C team, you could say. So the fact they're able to roll out, give some guys some Ks in the legs and still put on a clinic like this was pretty good. They were just too strong individually, weren't they? Like their offload game, I don't think I've seen a South African side offload that much just because they were able to dominate contact so much. And then guys like Mpimpi and that were on the end of some nice tries. But yeah, South Africa looked very good. Like you said, can't wait for this game this weekend because that's going to be mouth-watering stuff. But for me, these two have kind of been the most impressive sides so far throughout this tournament. So to get to see them go head-to-head in week three is a treat for the punters.
Oh, hell of a matchup. What'd you make of the four nines out there? How good was that?
Yeah, mate. Look at the scoreline. Obviously, it speaks volumes, doesn't it? So no doubt Fozzie's going to roll out Aaron Smith, Roy Gard, Finlay Christie, and then Brad Webber's going to have to come in somewhere into the squad, and let's see how it plays out for us. But 76-0, how could you not back it?
Yeah, and well done to anyone who triple captain Mpimpi in that game because, man, he got a massive score and I saw a few people, they're pretty quick to screenshot it and send it through to me when it happens like that. So well done to anyone who did do that because you would have climbed that leaderboard up very quickly. Okay, the next game was the game of the round, Australia versus Fiji. Surly, talk to me about this game. Fiji breakdown, how good were they?
Oh, this was the game of the tournament for me so far. Obviously, if we spoke about the heartbreak of them losing to Wales and whether they could bounce back and recover from that emotionally to be able to get up for this one. But you could almost tell the desperation. They needed to win this game and they got the job done. Many people are saying, you know, what an upset. But I think at the moment, if you play this game 10 times, Fiji are winning the majority of them. Like, they were by far the better football side for at least 65, 70 minutes of this game. So I was so stoked to see them hold on towards the end there. Aussie kind of wrestled back the momentum a little bit. And I thought, oh no, they're going to come away with a draw or something. But Fiji were able to get it done. And like you said, their breakdown work, that was elite. Guys like Tuisova and Radradra, they're almost like another set of loose forwards. They're so strong over the ball. And a lot of the times, like, Aussies were there in numbers at the collision, but these guys are so strong, they're so hard to move that one-on-one, they're always going to get the penalty. So well done to the Fijians. I thought it was unreal. I would have loved to have seen them get that last penalty just to rob the Wallabies of a bonus point because I think it could come down to that at the end of things of who gets out of this pool. But it was just so cool. Like, I love the emotion they play with. To see them pull this one off, I think, 1954, the last time they beat the Wallabies, and they thoroughly deserved it.
You speak about goal kicking, and I think that was a big difference for them. I mean, previously they haven't been able to kick their goals or go up in threes like they did. Snake, you're the goal kicking guru. Jeez, that Fijian nine struck the ball nicely.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic, man. And, like, obviously the goal kicking is a huge part of that, but for me this was just an all-round, like, different kind of win for Fiji and one that we've maybe not seen from them before. Like, it wasn't like line busts and offloads and sort of like deluxe interplay. It was like grinding out a game against a tier one nation where they were just ruthless and clinical. And like, for me, what really summed it up and summed up the difference between Fiji now versus in the past was like, after the game, there was a shot on the head coach. And like, obviously all the players are super emotional. They're a team that play with like such passion and emotion. Everyone's going nuts around and the head coach is just like glasses off, laptop fold up under the arm, shake hands with the assistants, gets up and walks down to the pitch. And I was thinking like, geez, that's a guy who's like, this isn't it for us. Like they are serious about being a big team in this competition and going further. They're not here just to upset one of the bigger or better funded nations and be happy with that. Like, they're a team that sees themselves going deep in this competition, and they should do with performances like this, man.
Yeah, I think they will. I think they'll make the quarters from here, and it's going to set up a very juicy quarterfinal with potentially an England or someone from that pool, which is going to be good to watch. But speaking of England, Japan versus England, bonus point win. Mate, well, I was not expecting this, Snake. We were trying to work out whether they'd get a try. Obviously, the first one came pretty unusually from a falcon into everyone stopping and just walking over. But they ended up playing some footy in the back end. What'd you make of it?
Yeah, look, I mean, first and foremost, like, Japan were really, really poor in this game. Again, it's so disappointing to see where they've gone over the last 4 years. And I saw some stats during the game that the coverage in the UK showed, you know, that England have played in the last 4 years 45 internationals versus Japan have played 19. So you understand some of it, but like, just unforced errors, like stupid aimless kicks, kicking away possession. And when you're playing against a team like England who are struggling for confidence and continuity in attack, like, the last thing you want to do is give them easy ins to the game. You want to keep them frustrated and keep them anxious, because that will grow in the England team. Like, they know that they're not scoring enough. They know that they're not playing good attacking rugby, and they don't look like a good team. And the longer Japan can keep them feeling like that, the higher it's going to get, and the more sort of stress the England team's going to grow. But just like England's first try, like an awful aimless kick to nothing from Japan, a little like chip over the top out their own 22. It's not on at all. England put a kick back into Japan's 5 metres out, line out overthrow. They fail to regather the overthrow. Then they don't get round the corner and defend a pick and go. And it's like such an easy way for England to get into the game and get that score that we said will have been in the players' minds before. I think the positives from England is that in the last 10 minutes when the game was won, but they knew they still had to chase the bonus point, they almost had no choice but to try and play to space and make things happen. And when they didn't have any choice and they had to play like that, they looked good. I mean, these are players that I've watched for years and years in Europe and for England in the past, play to space and make great decisions. So it's incredibly frustrating that they're in a situation at the moment where, like, for example, you look at the Joe Marler, the try from the pass that bounces off Joe Marler's head. Like, if they just go out the back there of that play, they're walking in a three-man overlap. Yeah. And 9 times out of 10 in the Premiership, the players involved in that play make that decision. But right now for England, they're not. And I don't know what the issue is, but it has to be something to do with the environment or the coaching that's making these players feel like they can't trust their eyes and trust their decision making.
Because that pool, like you say, like, England aren't playing that well, but they're probably going to finish top of their pool. And pool A and pool B are just so much stronger than pool C and D at the moment when you're watching the footy. So sort of feel sorry for Scotland being in their pool. Like, they've got South Africa and Ireland, two of the best teams in the comp at the moment. And then they look over and watch England and Argentina fight it out against Japan for their spot into the quarters. So, it's an interesting old setup, but does make for good games, which we will get to the games. But just before we get to the games, I will get to my fantasy roundup, because I know you guys aren't playing, but a lot of people who are listening to this do play. And I did triple captain D-Mac, like I spoke about, so I was pretty happy with that. He racked up a fair amount of points, and when you triple captain someone, you do ride every sort of play that he does. So you look back at the try that he was a centimetre short and then ended up knocking it on. That's sort of like a negative 60 play when you've got him as triple captain. So all these little emotions you ride when he does have that triple captain armband around his sleeve, you do really wind it. But the ABs in my side did a really good job. Like we said, when they play with space, teams who can beat up these minnow teams, They're good to load your side up with, but you can obviously only get three. I overplayed my hand with Wales, thinking that they'd pump Portugal. And Snake obviously talked up Johnny Williams, who got me a card and then knocked the ball over the line. So it was a tough wee watch for me getting up for that one. But that is why we love this game of fantasy rugby. I did score 702 points, so I did move up, I think, about 100 places, up to 31st on the Woodlad League. And shout out to Geordie, who's leading the comp. Massive scores from him early days, but it is still very early days, and I am coming for you, mate, because this week is a huge week for fantasy. There's not the big matchups where you've got some huge scores on the card, so you're going to have to pick your side very wisely. And as we go through this preview, I'll share a few of my thoughts going into it. But first game, Uruguay versus Italy. We've just watched that one fresh off it. What do you make of this one, Snakey?
Yeah, it was, I mean, similar to last week for Italy in terms of 40 minutes of real, real average performance. And then second half, they decide to show the world what they've shown everyone in the Six Nations for the last year, which is that they are a really, really good team with ball in hand. They're a seriously threatening, well-coached and well-organized team. And I just hope for Italy in the future, especially in the games against France and New Zealand that they have left, that they like show you guys how they can play. Because if they start slowly like they did today against Uruguay, against New Zealand or France, they're going to be 50 down at halftime, and then the games are right off anyway. So for me, it is that concentration that you can have from the European team sometimes. If they're not up for it, they really aren't up for it. And it did take them to get a punch in the mouth from Uruguay at halftime for them to come out in the second half and show everyone what they could do. But again, shout out to Uruguay, like another strong performance from them. We said France, was it a fluke? Well, France hung over, but they've backed it up again. So they're obviously a team that can play. It's just a shame, like you mentioned earlier, Jim, they don't have the depth to keep it going.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people would have loaded their team up with Italian players for this game, thinking it was going to be a massive score. But I don't think, from watching that game, many of those Italians had massive scores from fantasy point of view. So unlucky there. But the next one, this is a game where I think is going to be fantasy paradise. France versus Namibia. What are you going here, Surly? Who's a player to watch as well?
Yeah, I think this one will be a cricket score. I think the French are looking to make a bit of a statement off the back of a disappointing performance against Uruguay. So rolling out the big dogs. And yeah, it's not going to be a good day at the office for Namibia. And you got to feel sorry for them too. There's nothing worse than back-to-back spankings. But yeah, I can't see this one being any closer than 70 points, 80 points, which is kind of what that All Blacks side put on them. Yeah, I think it's going to be a clinic, and I think Ramos is going to have a heck of a day. He's going to be kicking a lot of conversions. They'll be going up in sevens because he's a sharpshooter, so he'd be a good man to chuck in your side. But yeah, I think the French are going to look to flex their muscles here, because we're seeing Ireland, South Africa, some of these other teams do the same, and they want to be regarded as one of these big dogs.
Yeah, full strength French side against Namibia. I've gone 70 points plus as well. So the key here for fantasy players is you get your three real high scoring players. So I've gone Ramos, like you've mentioned, Surly, a fullback who's goal kicking. He can probably get it one or two tries, kicks all his goals, like Snake said, best striker of the football in the game. The other one I've gone is Pinot, who I'm expecting to captain. Namibia left a lot of space for wingers. We saw Caleb Clark have a lot of space down there. The way they defend, I think there'll be a lot of space for Pinot. And that guy can finish, like we've spoken about. Very, very good player. And the other one I've gone is the best player in the world, DuPont. I was umming and ahhing over this one, whether to spend the $11 on getting him in. But I just think he is too much in his game against this Namibia side. I think he'll have try assists, line breaks. He could have a Roygaard type performance against Namibia. So,
whoa. He's no Roygaard, mate. Settle down.
So I could not afford to leave him out. I made that mistake with Roygaard, thinking that halfbacks can't really score that many points. But Roygaard has proven that wrong, and I think DuPont will do the same in this one. So that's what I'm expecting from this game. Massive game from fantasy players. So make sure you play that one wisely. Next game is Argentina versus Samoa. What are you going here, Snake?
Yeah, I think Argentina coming off a bye week after a really disappointing performance against England, I'm expecting a massive reaction from them. Like, Checa would have been into the boys all week. And I'm expecting to see Argentina come out and fire at their absolute set-piece best. So I've gone Montoya as my fantasy pick. Two tries off the back of them all, or from pick and go.
Oh, nice.
And then from Samoa as well, I've flagged up Theo McFarlane. I don't know how much of this guy you've seen, but he had a nasty injury last year, the six. But before that, this guy was absolutely ripping up the premiership for Saracens. He's one of those sixes that gets himself out to the edge a lot. And boys, he's so dangerous in that 15-meter channel. He's classic, big, rangy six. Really, really quick. Big engine. Gets his arms free. Loads of carry meters. So if the game does open up and Samoa can get on top of Argentina, which could also happen, I think he could be a really good little pick as well.
Jeez, I like that. I have literally just put him in my side this morning because I also see that he's down as a lock. So having a Lucy at lock might get a few extra points, and love hearing that about him down the edge, tackle breaks and carry meters, line breaks. Oh, looking forward to that. That is a pickup because he's good value too. He's basically all I could afford, so... glad it's going to work out really well. What about you, Surly? What about you in that game? Are you predicting Argentina to bounce back as well?
Yeah, I think Argentina will be a lot more improved than they were against England. Like Snakey said, they've had a little time to recoup and regather themselves after a really disappointing performance. I saw Nolima Sopoanga in the 23. I don't know if that's due to injury. I saw he lost his kicking tee and he's had it since he was 14. So maybe he's refusing to play until that one gets returned.
He's on strike.
Mate, fair enough too. Like, shit, there's nothing worse than losing your kicking tee, let alone if you've had it since high school. So fair play to the kid. I think last week we said head versus heart with that Fiji Wallabies game, and we went with the heart, so I'm going to go it again. I think it's going to be really close. And having a look at Samoa's bench, like Famuina, Ala Alatoa, Jordan Talfua, D'Angelo Leilua, Danny Toala, they've got some guys that have been in some really big games. So normally that's kind of where they fall off, but I think their bench is really strong. So I'll back them. I think it'll be within 7 points, but I'm hoping Samoa can pull this one off.
Yeah, I initially had Samoa down thinking they'd get the job, but I looked at their squad as well, and I'm not sure if they've rested or rotated or what they're doing there. It doesn't look like the full strength Samoa side, but like you say, they've loaded up their bench, so maybe it's all part of the plan because Coach Andrew Goodman, Tanu Manga and Mapusua, they'll have a plan up their sleeve. So yeah, I'm happy to go with Samoa on this one, but I'm not as confident as I was a few moments earlier. Next game is Georgia versus Portugal. This is a game for Georgia to really show us how good they are, I reckon. Snake, what do you reckon?
Yeah, look, two really, really sort of contrasting styles of rugby here. Portugal obviously touched on earlier with that like big sort of sevens influence, and they obviously spend a lot of their time and resources on attack focus and develop maybe at the cost of set piece, which is, I think, as a minnow team, a smart way to play. Like, you're never going to be able to take on the big dogs at scrum and line-up time. So you might as well get creative and get expansive with how you play. But I just think, yeah, like you said, Georgia obviously disappointing against Australia last week. Wounded beast, and I think set piece, they're going to come up tops in terms of dominance. I just think it's going to be too easy for them to sort of generate territory and possession from set piece time. So I've gone Georgia by 15. Lineup's not announced, and we can't predict who's going to play in Georgia Portugal. So I've not got any fantasy picks for you boys. Sorry.
Nah, neither here. But we've got to have a mention to South Africa naming their team. I think 2 days earlier than everyone else is absolute gold. So shout out to South Africa and Rassi. I know some people don't like some of the things he does, but the fact he names his team super early is just awesome for anyone playing fantasy rugby and all these other teams. It'd be great if you guys could catch up with Rassi in that view as well. Next game is England versus Chile. What are you going here, Surly? Are we going to see an absolute cricket score from England, or is it going to be a stranglehold?
You'd hope so, but those words, England and cricket score these days, make me a lot more nervous than they should. So, yeah, I'll back them by, I don't know, let's say 40, but that's not enough. It should be a lot more than that. Although Chile, like we saw against Samoa, they're a hearty bunch. I'm sure they'll be up for this one. It all depends on who England roll out, of course, but I'd love to see this one be tighter than it should. I mentioned before, these games, those are those ones where it can get frustrating to watch. So, sorry, Snakey, but I hope it's like that for the English. Yeah, I'll go England by 40.
Yeah, 40. Okay, I've gone by 50, a little bit more. What are you going, Snakey? 100?
Nah, Surly smashed it, man. I've got England by 40 in big red letters on my laptop screen. It's a good opportunity for England, like, with low pressure and hopefully a team that they should put to the sword pretty easily, touch wood, to sort of build on their game and develop. And I imagine that, again, the squad's not announced, but I imagine they're going to rotate with a lot of young guys coming in. My only concern is a lot of those young guys that come in now, you look at like your Marcus Smiths and Henry Arundels, like these guys are superstar players, and I'm desperate for you guys to see how good they are when they're allowed to do what they're good at. And my concern with the England team is that, like, if you chuck guys like Marcus Smith out there and try and get him to play this game plan we're playing at the moment, you're just setting him up to fail, because he's a fabulous player. He's one of the best players in the world. He's so difficult to play against. But that's not what he's good at, what they're trying to do at the moment. And my concern with this game is that they chuck out the young lads and make them do what we've watched for the last couple of weeks. And then they get a tough ride up in the media. They get a tough hit on social media. And then their confidence is trashed as well. So I'd love to see the boys come out and just be like, right, look, we're going for it here. We're going to back ourselves and show that we do actually have the ability to play to space, and we've got some dangerous players.
Yeah, that's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting to see Marcus Smith at 10 and just backing his ability, hopefully, and just playing to that space, that there will be a fair amount out there against this Chile side. So hopefully we see that, and then there's going to be the selection dilemma over the next few weeks, what style England want to play, I'd imagine, and I think we all know the answer to that. I think they're pretty happy with the style that's going at the moment with George Ford, who, to be fair, has been playing extremely well, playing the way they want to play. So that's I think, the way they think their best chance to win this Rugby World Cup is. So fair play to them, and I'm looking forward to that quarterfinal matchup with Fiji, with two very contrasting styles. Getting a little bit ahead of myself there, but that's where I see things happening. Okay, the next game is the game of the round, potentially the game of the World Cup, South Africa versus Ireland. Keen to hear your thoughts on this one, Snake. Where are you going?
This is a brilliant matchup, isn't it, lads? It's like power and brute force against timing and precision, and just to see that contrast in styles of these two teams and who's going to come out on top. I think they're so evenly matched, but they could not be more different. So it's such an exciting game to watch. South Africa, the 7-1 splits back.
Yeah.
Geez, that scares me, Jim. Like, I've been on the bench for some 6-2s and one injury, and it's twitchy times already. So 7-1. If you pick up an injury in the first 10, 15 minutes, especially three games into a World Cup, that really worries me, because trust me, South Africa, you might think Quagga Smith can play in the back line, but you do not want him defending first phase in midfield against Ireland the way they move the ball at the moment. It's going to be such a good contest. It's really difficult. I've gone Ireland by 6, based on the performances so far at the World Cup, and then based on that 7-1 split. It stresses me out too much. I can't handle it. So I've gone Ireland by 6. I'm interested to know where your lads' heads are at, though.
Yeah, what are you thinking, Surly? Yeah, the opposite. Southern Hemisphere represent.
No, I actually had Ireland by 6 as well, so you're not going to believe that. We're dialed in.
You guys are supposed to be different.
Yeah, I know. Well, Snakey came on and said he was going to be controversial last week, but he's agreed with everything we've said.
Yeah, so. But all my picks suck, so I've had to go back this week.
Yeah, smart man. I think heading into the tournament, like, this game and All Blacks France were the two I think everyone had circled as your pool play games to really get up for. So I can't wait for this. I'm gutted for that Malcolm Marx ACL injury. I think they're really going to miss him throughout this tournament. Like, he's such a good hooker, strong ball runner, and a huge leader for them. So I think that's going to be a deciding factor. I also just have to back Sexton's goal kicking. Like, we've seen South Africa, they've trialled a few different goal kickers now. It hasn't been quite as reliable. And I think in games like this, every point is crucial. So I'm just going to back Sexton's boot as well. But this is going to be unreal. Like Snakey said, the battle of the two contrasting games. Obviously, the winner will probably play the All Blacks as well. So both sides will be trying to throw the game. Neither of them want to win. They don't want to play us. But yeah, I'll go Ireland by six. I think that was a great call. I'm just really excited to sit down on the couch as a mutual fan and watch this game, because these are genuinely two of the best sides going at it, and there's a lot to play for.
Yeah, how good's the Rugby World Cup? I've even one-upped you here, guys. I've gone Ireland by 10. I agree with everything you've said, and I agree with the Sexton point, and I'm pretty shocked that they're not favourites to win this game. South Africa were pretty short favourites when I first looked, so very interesting there. But like you've mentioned, contrasting styles. If South Africa beat Ireland up like they did the All Blacks the week before the World Cup, it's going to be a tough day for Ireland. But just how in sync Ireland are, like we've spoken about, such a good team to watch, and I think they'll just be too good for South Africa overall. So, like you said, really looking forward to this game and just sitting down as a fan watching some quality footy. So that is the game of the round. Looking forward to that one. Next game is Scotland versus Tonga. Now, this one is an interesting one. You're both thinking Scotland by a relatively easy score. What are you thinking here, Snake?
Yeah, I think, look, Scotland had a really tough game in round one. I mean, starting your World Cup against South Africa, especially South Africa coming off that performance against the ABs a couple of weeks before the World Cup, really, really difficult for them. But, you know, fortunate that they've had a week off to sort of rest, recover, lick their wounds and go back to the drawing board tactically and come up with some solutions to how they play when they're not getting the front foot quick ball they want, because that was what they really struggled with against South Africa. I do expect them to be back to their best here. And, you know, like, lads, over the last 2 years, the Six Nations has been France and Ireland, leaps and bounds above, and then Scotland nipping at the heels of those two, and then a big drop off, and then England, Wales, etc. So Scotland are a serious, serious team. Like you mentioned in the preview, though, Jim, they're so unlucky on the draw on this World Cup. I'm not really sure why it's done so many years out on the world rankings, and you can't do it 12, 18 months max ahead of time. But look, I expect them to cause Tonga similar problems to what Ireland did last week. They're a really, really smart team. They run really good, well-organized shape. They've got a great back line. And I see a pretty comfortable win for Scotland. But like I said, that Tonga team in terms of individual players is absolutely stacked. So you just never know what to expect from them at the moment.
Yeah, agree. I've gone Scotland by 15, I think. The Tongans will target Finn Russell, I'd imagine. They'll come pretty hard at him, but he's a very hard man to get hold of. Hand speed, foot speed. He's one of the best in the game in some of his decision-making. Surely you obviously look like him, so what are you expecting from this game?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I always say he's one of my favourite tens to watch, and much like Snakey with Ireland, I love watching Scotland play just because kind of the trickery they play with. They always come up with some really exciting plays to watch. They're one of those sides that always present different pictures, and I love watching Finn play just because he's one of those guys that will roll the dice all the time. He's got all the skill set. Looking at him, he doesn't look like he plays, like, no offence to the bloke, but geez, he's got the skill set of doing, and he just looks like a bit of a white battler. But yeah, I've got Scotland winning by 20, so I've gone a little more than you, Jimmy. I think it'll be tight in that kind of first half, and then I think their class will show more towards the end. So yeah, I expect the Scots to be too good, and then that sets up an exciting game for them against the Irish as well. That pool's so stacked.
And we all agree on that one. So the next game is Wales versus Australia, last game of the round. Give me your predictions here. Surly, start with you.
Yeah, I'm going Aussie to bounce back. I think they'll be too good for Wales. Eddie Jones, he took the full accountability of last week's poor performance, as he always does. But I think, what, they're 2 from 11 now under his reign. So they're an absolute shambles. No doubt somewhere Dave Rennie's sitting there just laughing, watching this all unfold. And I saw Drew Mitchell laid into him as well overnight. And fair enough to Drew. I think everything he said was spot on. But I do think they'll be too good for Wales. I think they'll bounce back here, but only by 7 points. I think it's going to be really tight. But in the end, the Wallabies will get the dub.
You'll be different on this one, surely, Snake. Here we go. Here's our first argument on the Waterland Dance with France preview.
I hope I'm wrong, by the way. I hope Wales win, so Fiji go through, just for the record.
Oh, lads, look, if the Ireland-South Africa game is the game of who's in better form, this is the game of who's in worse form, surely. It's not going to be the team that plays better that wins. It'll be the team that doesn't play worse. My prediction purely is based on whether Will Skelton's fit or not.
He's not fit, nah. So you're
right,
yes, here we go.
that's a huge loss for them because I think that really affected them this week against Fiji, especially having guys pull out so late. It just fucks with the match day 23 so much, and especially a guy like Will Skelton, like, geez, boys, he's been one of the best players in Europe for the last couple of years. He's absolute beast. So that I didn't know he wasn't going to play. That does actually throw my prediction out. What I will say about Australia is, like, Carter Gordon is brilliant at times, man. He's so good to watch. He's so much fun. But, like, at other times, he really shows how young he is. Mm. And I hate that there's not a more experienced 10 in the squad as well, even just to hang around him and talk to him after games and stuff. Like, I don't understand that squad selection, because at times, like, against Fiji, like, he's just trying to force plays to happen when all the momentum's going against him, and you just think, lad, just, like, take the sting out of the game, slow it down, you're on the back foot. I have written down Australia by 1-12, but if Will Skelton's definitely not fit, then I'll go Wales by 6.
Wow, there it is, Wales by 6, here we go.
Wallabies to have their 15th captain, you love it.
Oh, that's harsh on Parecki.
How good was Parecki in the weekend? Oh, good to see him out there leading the troops, even though it was due to Skelton's late withdrawal. But stoked for big Disco Dave to be running out there leading his country. Very cool to see. But I've gone Australia by 12. I think they've just got too much class for that Wales side. I was so disappointed watching them try and beat that Portugal side in the weekend that I just can't see them score enough points to beat this Australian side. And it's going to be interesting. I wish that Aussie had named this side. I'm interested to see if they stick with Carter there, because I thought Ben Donaldson, when he moved to 10 and they chucked Mark at the back, I thought they looked a little bit more dangerous. They had a little bit more, I guess, X factor across the board. So interesting to see what they do there, whether they stick with Carter, because he did look low on confidence, especially when he was coming off. So it's going to be hard for the young fella to get back up for such a big game with country on his shoulders. But I'd imagine Eddie's going to persist with him, because he's backed him from the start by only really picking 110. So, it's going to be some game. And, yeah, like I said, I think Australia are going to be just a little bit too good for them. So that wraps up all the games. Jeez, there's some predictions there. I want to hear one bold call from you each, though, boys, to finish the podcast this week. One bold call that's going to happen this week.
Samoa to beat Argentina and really set up a barnstormer of a game. Samoa versus England, that last pool game. Winner goes through. Can't wait for that. But, yeah, I'm backing Samoa to get the chocolates.
Wow, like it. What about you, Snake? Can be anything.
Okay, my bold prediction, genuinely, is that if South Africa have an injury in the back line, Ireland could put 25, 30 points on them.
Wow, yeah, okay. You are nervous about that 7-1 split.
Oh, mate, I cannot imagine trying to play in that. Yeah, if South Africa lose a back, especially a midfielder early doors, then Ireland will go massive.
Yeah, if they lose a midfielder, I wonder what they're...
It must be to put Quagga-Smith in the back line. It's the, or 9 to the wing, shift one of your wingers in, but the wingers aren't midfield cover guys.
Nah. The reserve 9 would definitely go on the wing, but who goes into the midfield? You got two of the smallest wingers in the comp moving in. So yeah,
unless you have, but then you can do this, but then you end up with a whole backline shuffle, and that never works. You go fullback to midfield. The Lemsa can play in midfield. You go winger to fullback and scrum after the wing. But then you've got two guys out of position, and that's always a shambles.
I think that's probably what they'll do. You're right there. Yeah, interesting. Nervous times for wrestling.
I hate it.
My bold prediction is going to be Pinot to be the first person to score 4 tries at this Rugby World Cup. He's going all the way this weekend. 4 tries. Yeah, is that bold? I don't know.
Triple captain him if you haven't already, you reckon?
If you haven't used your triple captain, he's your probably... Well, that game's the only game you'd look to use it, and Pinot's probably your man. Unless you love a Ramos or DuPont, both of them could score massively as well. But, huge week for fantasy. So if you are playing, make sure you nail your side early. I'm still getting messages from people saying my side didn't save. I've still got Sam Kane in there. I warned you from round one, make sure you save your squad after you do your changes. So don't come at me with that rubbish because I've warned you. And also make sure you load up your side with the French players. Make sure you got three Frenchies, three English players because they are going to go all right against Chile. And nail your captain because that does make the big difference. But appreciate it, lads. Looking forward to watching another good week of Rugby World Cup. And always good to get your insight. And looking forward to seeing who comes out on top on that Wales versus Oz disagreement. First disagreement on the podcast. So looking forward to seeing who comes up, Trent.
I'm regretting it already.
Yeah, that's the one, mate. Aussie's going to do them. I hope they don't, but now I hope they do.
The moment I said it, I just felt like Jim when he picked all the Wales players in his fantasy team. I just,
You'll never get that back. No,
I'll stand by it. I'll stand by it.
Appreciate it, lads.
Cheers, boys.
Hey, guys, thanks for listening. And if you've got this far, I'm guessing you enjoyed the episode. So if you did, please give it a share if you can. And also cheers to our mates at Spates for sponsoring this episode.